Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Inside. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, we hear the warnings every year. Be mosquito aware, even during years of drought here in California. Around this time, we're reminded to start draining standing water, use insect repellent to fight the bite. And although we'll get notifications about West Nile, whether found in a dead bird or even a human case, we might not pay all that much attention. However, this year may be very well a different story. This week, you'll likely start to hear more public service announcements as the Sacramento Yellow Vector Control District is launching its annual awareness campaign to remind everyone about the dangers that mosquitoes can carry and what everyone can do to help lower the potential of activity around the places they live. Joining us now is Luz Robles, the agency's public information officer. Good morning, Luz.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
We have had this conversation, you and I, for many years, Luz, and you've been with the Sacramento YOLO Mosquito and Vector Control District for quite some time. But I'm just curious, when you like step outside of when you're 9 to 5, when you get outside of work, you tell people what you do for a living. What are the most common questions that you get?
Well, this year, the most common question that I'm getting is it going to be a bad mosquito season this year because of all this rain that we've had? So that's been the top question. We were actually at an event last weekend, and that was, if I could have counted how many times I got asked that question, I would have lots of money. I should have asked people for a dollar.
Yeah, it would be lots of like coffee trips for me going to coffee shops with those dollars. So when it comes to that answer, what is the answer?
Well, you know what? The answer is definitely it's going to be a very busy mosquito season just because we've had record amounts of rain this year. Every year, usually we have a lull in the rain sometime in February and then followed by a warm spell. But it seems like this year it never really stopped raining until now, right? So all this record amount of rain has definitely left behind a lot of stagnant water. And it's definitely something that we're concerned about, right? So it's still a little bit too early to tell what kind of mosquito season it's going to be. But based on the amount of rainfall, it is likely going to be a busy season because there are lots of areas that do have stagnant water, right? Not only our common household sources, but just in general, roadside ditches, pastures, a lot of areas that could potentially become mosquito breeding sources and create a busy season for us ahead.
Yeah, and I know you mentioned it's still too early to tell, but we did have relentless atmospheric rivers. We have record snowpacks in some portions of the Sierra, or if not near record snowpacks as well. And you've been with Vector Control in Sacramento and Yolo counties for years. Does this year remind you of years past? Is there a comparison?
You know what? Oh, we have a laboratory that tracks all of the mosquito trends and the abundance. And there have been other years that have, you know, that have seen lots of rain and obviously mosquito populations. As of now, mosquito populations are on track with what we have seen in previous years. And I know that a lot of people think that a lot of rain could definitely make for a lot of mosquitoes. And for sure it can. But it's also important to understand that just because there's a lot of mosquitoes doesn't necessarily mean that we might have intense virus activity. So in years past, when we've been in the drought, we have seen intense levels of West Nile virus activity, even though there's a drought. So this year, yes, we might likely see lots of mosquitoes because of the rain and all the stagnant water. But in terms of virus activity, obviously in intense mosquito populations could lead to intense virus activity as well. But as of now, it's still a little bit too early to tell. Our laboratory surveillance activities will start at the beginning of May. That's when we will start tracking West Nile virus activity in bird populations. And then that's really when the season will really kind of come to a start.
So it could even be during drought years as well. And obviously, when tracking viruses, that is the priority for your agency. What are the conditions historically that lead to more virus activity among mosquitoes from one year to the next?
So, for instance, as you just mentioned, drought, right? So when we did have the drought, we did have a limited amount of water. So basically, after there was some evaluation, they figured out that because there was limited amounts of water, that basically birds and mosquitoes would congregate together at these limited water sources. And that created more virus transmission between bird populations and mosquito populations. So, you know, that's something that we definitely, you know, we're keeping an eye on. This year, because there's so much water, we're really more concerned about just the amount of mosquito breeding sources. And I know that a lot of times people think of, you know, the very large sources that we mentioned, the pastures, the ag areas, but we really want people to pay attention to even those small sources around people's homes, because we know where the creeks are, the rivers, the pastures, the ag areas, but we can't be in everybody's backyard. So we really depend on people to help us and having them do their part in, you know, dumping out that stagnant water that can produce mosquitoes.
What are some good examples of there being too much standing water in someone's backyard that maybe it might get overlooked by someone? They don't think it's that much.
Yes. So, I mean, even a small amount of water, say in a bucket, a plant saucer, a bird bath, a kiddie pool, you know, a dog dish, even that small amount is enough to produce mosquitoes. We actually have invasive mosquitoes that have started spreading throughout our area. And those mosquitoes only need about a teaspoon of water in order to begin their life cycle. So laying their eggs and having that life cycle start. So, you know, we ask that people at least once a week, please do their part, look around their yard and dump out any stagnant water, and also even scrub down those containers, because some of those, especially these invasive mosquitoes, they can lay eggs along the sides of containers. So, you know, scrubbing down containers also goes a long way in helping us reduce mosquito populations.
Okay, so how are invasive mosquitoes different from native mosquitoes?
So invasive mosquitoes, so we have two species of invasive mosquitoes. So Aedes aegypti and Aedes albopictus, these are two mosquitoes that have been in California now since 2011. But in our region, we discovered them for the first time in 2019, and they've been slowly spreading to different areas. So what makes these mosquitoes different is that, one, they're aggressive day biting mosquitoes. Our traditional native mosquitoes bite typically at dawn and dusk. These can bite aggressively all day long. They really prefer to bite people. And then also, these mosquitoes can transmit new diseases such as Zika, dengue, and chikungunya, diseases that, you know, are very common in other parts of the world and not necessarily here in California. We have not had any locally transmitted diseases here, but we do see those diseases imported from other countries every year. And obviously, if these mosquitoes are here, then that increases the possibility that we could also see those diseases, you know, locally.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, you know, just a few potentially harmful diseases, you know, but I think the main one, at least that we're familiar with, that y'all track is West Nile. And last year, according to your agency, there were over 200 cases of West Nile and 13 deaths attributed to the West Nile virus, and that was statewide. So can you explain just what is West Nile and how it's transmitted, and even if can pets also get West Nile as well?
Yes, so you're correct. So are the, you know, the disease that we track and the one that we're most concerned about is West Nile virus activity. It's a disease transmitted between birds and mosquitoes. So birds such as crows, jays, magpies, those are the ones that are more susceptible to West Nile virus. Of course, you know, an infected mosquito can also bite a horse. It can also bite a person. And, you know, we're very concerned about this disease because it's one that's here to stay. It's endemic to our area. And it's not going anywhere. So every year we do see cases of West Nile virus. The numbers that you provided were for California. But we had 5 cases in Sacramento County, 3 cases in Yolo County. So it's definitely something that we're very concerned about. You know, 80% of people don't develop any West Nile virus symptoms. However, 20% of people develop the classic headache, fever, body aches, fatigue, vomiting. And then 1 in 150 people develop the very severe form of the disease that leads to meningitis or encephalitis, which can, you know, those are the cases that are very severe and can lead to death, unfortunately.
Yeah. Back in 2016, I interviewed a Winters woman who had survived West Nile virus. And it was a severe case. And so it can certainly be serious. On the onset, when you have these symptoms, can it be mistaken for like maybe having the cold or flu or even COVID?
Yes, unfortunately, because these symptoms are very common to a variety of, you know, of ailments. It's something that, you know, people can definitely confuse it with, you know, either flu or COVID. But, you know, that's why we recommend that, if, especially if you start to develop these symptoms after, say, going camping or spending lots of time outside, that you definitely visit your healthcare provider. They would take a blood sample, and that's how it would be diagnosed. You know, there's really no treatment for it, but it's definitely something that we are interested in tracking, and we want to know if somebody is having, if somebody's diagnosed with West Nile.
Yeah. And given that you're going to start conducting surveillance in May, is there a peak season for mosquitoes in our area?
I mean, mosquitoes, we see mosquitoes year round, but the peak time when we see the most is probably, you know, June, July, August, September. Those are the times when we see our traditional mosquitoes, and actually invasive mosquitoes, we see a lot more peak later in the fall. So in our area, we have about 24 different species of mosquitoes that we see at different times of the year. But the ones that can transmit West Nile virus are more active in the summer. So that June, July, August, that's when we see the cases or the populations really start to build up. And then the West Nile virus cases, as far as invasive mosquitoes, we see them later in the fall, anywhere from, say, September, even through November. So we really, until we start to see temperatures decline, that's when most mosquito populations really, really start to go down.
Yeah, and we're really honing in on, like, standing water. But are there actually, like, good insects that you want to keep around your house that actually eat mosquitoes?
Yes. So, you know, some of our friends would definitely be, say, dragonflies. You know, think about crane flies. People usually think of crane flies as a big giant mosquito, and they're not. They don't eat mosquitoes. It's a totally different insect. So, you know, it actually has the same life cycle, but it doesn't feed on mosquitoes. But so dragonflies, moths, birds, frogs, those are bats. They definitely feed on a lot of mosquitoes. And people usually ask me, are mosquitoes good for anything? And well, they're definitely part of the food chain.
Yeah. And then you also have fish as well, right? That they help eat mosquitoes too.
Exactly. So mosquito fish, yeah, they're one of our it's one of our biological control methods. So we have mosquito fish here at our district. If you have a pond, a fountain, a horse trough and need a mosquito fish, please give us a call, fill out a service request. We're happy to bring them to you. We also put those fish in different areas such as rice fields, agricultural areas, you know, pastures, dairy sums, because they're very effective at helping us reduce mosquito populations overall.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Luz Robles with the Sacramento Yellow Vector Control District about the concern over this year's mosquito population. Okay, Luz, I have the million-dollar question. Why do mosquitoes like some people more than others?
Maybe because people are really sweet. So, no, I'm just joking. Mosquitoes are attracted to people based on our scent. You know, just our, you know, there's some people that are naturally more attractive to mosquitoes, but we're always attracting mosquitoes because they're attracted to our breath, right? So the CO2 in our breath attracts mosquitoes, and just our overall scent. So maybe if you're out jogging and you're a little bit sweaty, that would attract mosquitoes. Maybe you're wearing a fruity lotion and fruity shampoo, but, basically overall scent, you know, our overall body chemistry, all of that, you know, makes it so that you're more attractive to mosquitoes or not. So that's why we always recommend that you always wear an effective mosquito repellent if you're going to be spending time outside, and just because we want to make sure that you're staying protected against any mosquito bites.
When it comes to repellent, what should people be aware of? Because, I mean, you look at shelves and shelves, there's a lot to choose from. It can be overwhelming.
Yes, it can be. So basically, please determine your activity, right? So if you're going to be camping or hiking in an area where there's lots of mosquitoes, look for a repellent that has a higher percentage of that active ingredient. So active ingredients that are common are DEET or picaridin. So most repellents have anywhere from like a 7 to 30% amount of DEET or picaridin. So if you're going to be outside or camping, hiking, look for, say, a 30% DEET that's going to give you longer protection. So 4 to 6 hours. If you're just going to be walking the dog, going out for a short walk, something that has 7 to 15 is going to be more than enough, because that will give you about 1 to 2 hours worth of protection.
And there are some that say like DEET free or they're natural. Do natural ones work as well?
There's oil of lemon eucalyptus, which is actually a good natural alternative option for those that don't want to do DEET or picaridin. But yeah, there's a variety of, you know, different options, but oil of lemon eucalyptus is probably your best one for a natural one.
Hmm. And what about those candles people use outside? You know, if you're barbecuing or whatever, do those actually work?
I mean, people usually often use citronella candles. They don't really work as well. We always recommend, you know, personal protection. So something that you actually put on your skin, but they're better than nothing. And then, you know, the closer you are to the candle, the more effective it'll be. But personal protection with repellent is best. Mm.
When it comes to our area, it's such a large area. It's also geographically, it's diverse. You have a valley, but you also have the foothill areas. I remember in previous interviews with you, mosquitoes can actually be in snow, which I was not aware of. So are there certain areas in the greater Sacramento region that are more prone to mosquito activity than others?
Well, definitely. I mean, any area that has water. So within our two counties, we have lots of agricultural areas, lots of rice. You know, that's always wet because that, you know, that's what you need to be able to grow rice. So those areas are definitely more prone to mosquitoes. So that's one, you know, rice fields, ag areas, pastures, dairy, sumps, all of those are areas that we closely monitor for mosquito activity. Mm.
Finally, Luz, review for our listeners the district's D's of mosquito prevention.
Yes. So as you know, as we kind of go into the spring and summer season when mosquitoes are going to be active, please remember to, first of all, drain any stagnant water at least once a week. Look around your yard, drain all that stagnant water. You know, dress in protective clothing, either long sleeves, pants, or defend yourself with some mosquito repellent if you're going to be spending time outdoors. You know, close those doors, fix any holes that might be in your windows to prevent mosquitoes from going in your house where they can bite. And then lastly, please give the district a call. If you do see a lot of mosquitoes around your area, we're here to help. You know, we can come out and provide a free service inspection, provide recommendations, bring you fish. We also have mosquito repellent wipes available for, you know, for agencies that serve the homeless or for parks and rec, for golf areas, you know, your Boy Scout troops that are going on camping trips over the summer. Please give us a call. We have lots of free services to help you out.
Luz, nice seeing you.
Nice to see you too. Thank you.
Luz Robles is the public information officer with the Sacramento Yellow Vector Control District, talking to us about this year's mosquito season. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.